Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We welcome in a former Cleveland Brown. Well, once you're a Brown, you're always a Brown. Well, with the exception of a couple, I got to be honest with you. Like, do we want to call Josh Gordon always a Brown? I don't know if we want to do it. Anyway, John Greco joins us on the show. Current analyst, yes. Dwayne Bowe, always a Cleveland Brown. Hi, John. How are you?
Ken, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Doing very, very well. All right, you played in this rivalry. What was this rivalry like on the field? Were there guys who liked to talk during these games? And tell me who. Give me names.
Guys like to talk. I'll be honest with you. I'll share a quick story. It was really a low point in my life. I was sitting on the sidelines at Heinz Field. We were down. And a fan behind me, I heard him screaming my name. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to give this guy the time of day. But it was quiet, and I heard him. And he said, "You are a disgrace to Youngstown." And Ken, I got to be honest, that hurt. That hurt deep. But I laughed and I turned around. And the fans were pretty good about talking smack there. But the players, Tuitt would always talk. He was kind of a jabber. Hayward, if you got him angry, which Alex Mack always managed to do, he was really good at pissing off the guys that I had to block. So Hayward was if you kind of rattled his cage, he got going, which was, a nightmare. But other than that, the linebackers did in the past, but for most of my experience playing them, it was just kind of play football.
How could some idiot call you a disgrace to Youngstown? Now, Youngstown is a proud people, and we know this, and you're from there, and you know that very, very well. But let's be honest, if we want to start to count some disgraces to Youngstown, there's plenty of disgraces to Youngstown. John, you are not one of them.
That's right, and that's why I'm hoping the fan was being sarcastic. Maybe it was someone from Youngstown that was just trying to have some fun with me, but I had a good laugh about it, and everybody, at least all the offensive linemen that were sitting by me, heard it, and they had a laugh as well.
Well, at least something was able to be fun out of these days. Going into this game on Sunday, John, there's only going to be 5,500 fans there. I think there was only they had 5,500 available tickets. According to the reports I saw, they had just over 4,600 people in attendance. Now, you might get a full boat of 5,500 coming up on Sunday. What's that do? Because I think that what you just said, boy, I'd be able to hear probably a lot of conversations going on up there in the stands if I really wanted to with only 5,500 fans there. What's that do? Does that somehow maybe make it a little bit weirder? Are they used to it by now since they've already played five games, a couple in front of fans, a couple with no fans? What's your feelings?
I think, I think they're probably used to it by now being five games in. It takes a little bit of the home field advantage away because, opposing offenses, in this case the Browns offense, probably, won't be operating out of the silent count. They can communicate. Everybody can hear one another. Some of the disadvantages you have to playing on the road that you have to deal with, some of the hurdles, they probably won't have, those disadvantages. So, with that being said, you still got to take care of the football, do everything like that. But, when that stadium scoreboard plays Renegade at some crucial moment in the third quarter and those fans go nuts, it's a critical down, it's a critical play, and in my experience is there, any time that they play that song, they knew that they needed a big play, and unfortunately for me, in my experience is there, Pittsburgh was always able to produce one. So, maybe you won't have that in that typical loud, raucous atmosphere that you are used to seeing at Heinz Field, but it's still going to be they're at home, and you still got to win a divisional game on the road.
John Greco joining us on the show. For Baker and his ribs, how big of a concern is that for you? Because I guess he threw with some trainers yesterday, but it's been very gingerly. I guess I'd be willing to see Case Keenum if Baker really can't go, because I do trust Case Keenum as a backup quarterback to be able to conduct the offense as a professional.
I agree with you. He's a veteran. I'm sure he's getting the majority of the snaps this week. Well, he is. And, you know, he's got to be on high alert to, at a moment's notice, be in the game. So, you know, he's got to get a work, some work with the receivers and the O-line and the communication and things that, you know, Baker does 99% of the week. So, you know, Case is doing that behind the scenes right now. They're probably, you know, tailoring the game plan in the, you know, event that he has to go in and Baker goes down. But we heard Baker's comments, you know, he said about his mom, and, you know, maybe that was just kind of a little sarcastic joke or whatever. But I do believe that Baker's going to do everything he can to be out there. With that being said, you know, the trainers are smart and the team's smart. You got to protect your quarterback. So we'll see. But, you know, if Baker's out there, he's going to have extra protection, those rib vests and those rib jackets that quarterbacks wear. He's going to have extra padding. The offensive line's going to be on high alert. Their ears are going to be perked up knowing that their quarterback is banged up behind them. So the attention to detail and the blocking's got to be that much more crisp. But, you know, getting back to what you said about Case Keenum, if he's in there, I feel more than confident that he's able to lead this offense.
Watching Ben Roethlisberger, John Greco joining us on the show, watching Ben Roethlisberger against J.J. Watt and Fletcher Cox. Now, Fletcher Cox more comes through the middle, but I've seen Ben Roethlisberger really get rid of the ball quickly. Does that, how much of an effect do you think that, have you seen that, one? And two, does that mean that Miles might not have that great of an effect on this football game? Because I'm seeing a lot of short stuff, not a lot of deep balls, and they're just trying to get that ball out quickly for some of these guys.
Yeah, and Ben's smart. He's a veteran quarterback. He's coming off of a, you know, injury season, so he's trying to be efficient. And for the most part this season, or for the majority of the season, he has been that. He is, you know, his arm looks great. He looks like he's not the aging quarterback. He's still making big plays, and his receivers are getting open. As far as the pressure and getting the ball out quickly, I think that's just a product of the Steelers not having the run game that we're used to in the past. They aren't a top-tier running team like they were in the Le'Veon Bell days and kind of when I was with the Browns playing them. So they've had to rely on Ben making plays down the field and kind of short intermediate passes, the dink and dunks, the frustrating passes where, you know, you're trying to tire out those defensive linemen because they're rushing full speed, and that frustrates them because they may have beaten their guy. And that was, Ken, that was one of the worst things that we used to watch on tape. I'd watch a guy get olayed. You know, he looked like a matador, letting the guy, a defensive lineman, rush by him unscathed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we always just say, no worries, ball's out. I got to tell you, Ken, if I ever got beat clean, it was a sack. I never saw guys getting rid of the ball and saving me. But Ben's been doing that. He's been getting the ball out timely and efficiently, and they've been making plays for him.
What have you liked most about the Browns so far throughout the first 5 weeks? I think they actually have an identity, and for the first time in a long time, I've been able to say that. I mean,
yeah, I'm with you, and we talk about it on Sundays. Their identity is running the football, controlling the clock, and you know, Baker's making throws when he has to, and his receivers and playmakers and pass catchers are doing that. They're making some incredible plays, like the play over the middle where Odell made that ridiculous catch. So Baker's trusting them. It just seems like everyone on offense is trusting one another, and they're trusting the system. Kevin Stefanski, the outside zone is looking very well. So to answer your question, I think I've been most impressed with the offensive line play. You've had a guy like Chris Hubbard that's been bouncing around at multiple positions that hasn't skipped a beat. That unit has looked good. And they're going to need to look good this year, this week, excuse me, because Pittsburgh, they're going into Heinz Field against really one of the top pressure-generating defensive fronts in the NFL right now. So Cleveland's going to have to be on top of their game. But I've been impressed with the run game and the play action, and so far, you know, creating turnovers on defense, it's been a winning formula.
We've been paying attention to the COVID stuff, which, by the way, folks, we got no new news right now. We'll tell you as soon as we can, but right now, no new news. There's There's a couple of questions of whether or not they're in Indianapolis, whether they were false positives, but there were several within the organization. They've closed the facility for today. As far as what Diana Rossini reports, she says that the game is still on between the Colts and the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. But it's made me think about this, John. That bye week is coming up in week 9. Now, we've already seen the Steelers have to move a bye week. And, you know, I think that the players and the coaches have a couple of things right here where you're going to have to extend a season because during a bye week, aren't you supposed to get 4 days off, if I'm not mistaken? Aren't you supposed to have 4 consecutive days off? And now they're just well, yeah, so you go to work every single day and they're like, well, this week will be your bye week. Well, wait a minute, it's a bye week. It's not a bye day. So don't you have to extend the season, John?
I would think so, because those bye weeks are so crucial for your mental and physical health. If you're a team that's banged up, like frankly the Browns are, you know, that could be a week where Nick Chubb's not missing a game and he's getting rest and he's going to come back to action. So for that to be adjusted, I think everyone is – it's in the back of everyone's mind. You know, maybe the players not so much because – they've already been told that they can't leave the city, so nobody's, you know, has the distractions of, you know, I got to get down to Florida, I got to get down to the Caribbean, where am I going, who are we traveling with? That's kind of out of play, but I think it's creeping in where you're right. It's like I thought I was going to have this chunk of time off to clear my head, get my body right for this second half of the season, for this next push toward, you know, our ultimate goal, and I think it's in the back of everyone's mind, that's for sure.
So you played for the Browns for 6 seasons. That means you had 12 games against the Steelers. What question did you hate answering the most by the time it was all done with the Browns?
Oh, wow. I think the rivalry question. Because, you know, let's be honest, when you've beaten them, you know, twice or 3 times in so many years, is that really a rivalry? You know, my answer would be no. Now, I grew up in Northeast Ohio, so I grew up on Youngstown, which is right on the border. So there's a lot of Steelers fans. There's a ton of Browns fans. So I get it. I grew up knowing that rivalry. So when I was a player there, I thought, to the credit of the hundreds of head coaches I had in my 6 years, they all did a really good job of trying to make the team aware of that rivalry, because I know it's so important to the fans, and it's important to me as a fan growing up in this region. But the Browns have a test this Sunday to get a divisional win on the road and kind of, you know, light a fire, light a spark in that rivalry that we are all hoping to see, that a lot of people in Cleveland or in Browns fans all over remember this rivalry as. So I think this is a great opportunity to do that. But I would have to say that would be one of the questions that it was tough to answer.
As a fan, John, like, you played, so it's different from you. Like, the fantasy is gone for you. But me as a fan, I think that's part of the reason I still harbor strong feelings towards Art Modell, is because I see a rivalry that has been near the tippy top of the NFL over the last 20 years. Off and on, but mostly on, over the last 20 years between the Ravens and the Steelers, and I feel as a fan that that's been stolen from me. Because when I hear Ike Taylor and he's like, nah, it wasn't a rivalry, like, it makes me sick. It makes me sick because I know it was a rivalry in the 80s and 70s and certainly even in the early 90s. Levon Kirkland was on Bull and Fox yesterday and said it. And now, I mean, guys know each other. It's a different stratosphere. Money's different. Our connectivity because of phones and everything. Everything's different now. And so you really have to play at a high level to have a rivalry, don't you?
Absolutely. And all those points you made were great. And I would agree with you about what Ike said. You know, I think if you put yourself in the Steelers' shoes for a second, they're chasing the Ravens. And that's their rivalry, because in their world, it's like, if we beat the Ravens, we win the division, we have a chance at home field. You know, I know, not anymore because there's only the one seed, but in the past 20 years, we'll say, like you said. And you're right, Art Modell robbed it from a lot of us. I grew up in that era when the team moved, and I was a fan back then. And I remember all the men in my family, and the women, for that matter, you know, going crazy and wanting to kill everyone. So you're right. But I think now, hopefully it's shifting. I think the it's no secret the Browns are on an upswing. And what a better way to, like I said, re-spark that fire than to winning Sunday and bringing it back on the map and being in that conversation. You know, we all know what happened week one. That's in the past, and they get them again. And I think it's going to be a different ballgame. But knocking off the Steelers this Sunday and positioning yourself in that playoff picture, because it's going to be tight, Ken. We talked about this division. It's got three talented teams, and they're all going to be in the mix at the end of the year. So winning this is huge. We all talk about divisional games count as two, and especially on the road, this is a big one.
John Greco joining us on the show. I always like to post that I'm at Jib Jab because it gets people in Youngstown hot. You're a Jays guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I was a Jays guy, despite the fact that the guy used to line the hot dogs up on his hairy, sweaty, greasy arm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that happened. But we used to go to Jays, and I don't think you – like, if you ordered the same thing there for 25 consecutive trips, you never paid the same amount. It was just kind of like whatever they decided – you owed at that moment, you were paying. But, yeah, you would look in the back, and it was kind of, we, you know, remember the soup Nazi thing? Like, you walked in,
yeah.
You made your order, you side shuffled, and you turned your back toward the chef because you just, it was just like, I don't want to see what's going on behind the scenes, but I knew the hot dogs were good.
See, that you go to Jib Jab, they're just so friendly, John. They're so nice.
I agree. Jib Jab's great. And if I'm out there in that neck of the woods, which I really was, you know, let's be honest, Jays was a pitching wedge away from my house there in Boardman.
Yep.
You know, I had no need to go out to Jib Jab, but I have been there. It's great. I think you're spot on. I wouldn't steer you away from there in a second.
John, we can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. All the very best to you and yours. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
I'll talk to you this weekend. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. John Greco joining us on the show. Fantastic, as always, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I've never been to Jay's out there. It is in Boardman right there on 224. The thing about the arm kind of throws me off, but I do like to say when I'm at Jib Jab out there, just so I can throw some people off out there in Mahoning and Trumbull County. 216-578-0092. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Andrew Filippone joins me. We get back into the most hated Steeler, most respected Steeler a little bit later on. Why? No, it's not maybe a must win, but it's certainly you got to look good for everybody involved here. The possibilities of Case Keenum playing and the Browns power rankings for week 6. I got a surprise in here, and it's coming up next live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.